Welcome to the Float Podcast, an entrepreneurial journey. My name is Nick Janicki, once a wide-eyed hippie with purple dreadlocks, and now the founder of the True Rest Float Spa, the fastest growing floating franchisor in the world, and CEO of Float Pod Technologies, the industry leader in float pods. Follow me along in my entrepreneurial journey with what will become the next billion-dollar industry to enter the health and wellness sector. Let's connect with world-class athletes, actors, musicians, doctors, industry experts, and explore the mindsets of powerful entrepreneurs. Let's get this floating party started.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Float Podcast. This is a very special guest, Ms. Drew Boomer, who is our Director of Operations for True Rest Franchising. And as always, True Rest is our sponsor as well as Float Pod. And so True Rest is the fastest growing floating franchisor in the world, which we're very excited to be a part of. Ms. Drew Boomer came on very early on as our Director of Operations, and we are very happy. I say we, it's just me, I don't know. I'm very happy to have you on board. And, you know, I just wanted to talk to you a little bit about your experience with floating, and then specifically, one of the coolest things you do is marathons, and just what your experience was with doing marathons, I think, for 20 years, and then, you know, the last time you did it, you were able to use it as for floating. So tell us a little bit about your background, why you love floating, how you got involved in the industry, and let's start there.
Great. Well, let's start with we. We are all very excited.
Yes.
I'm very excited to be a part of the industry. And my background, I'd been supporting franchises from my own experience and being involved as a franchise owner, and then in real estate and other brands. And when I first heard about floating, it is something I was had experienced in the 80s. And just something inside said, now's the time. And met you and the concept, and it was ready. It was time to turn this into a business to take out on a broader scale.
Right.
So we started talking, I guess, last February, a year ago February. It's gone really fast, but oh my gosh, so much has happened in such a really relatively short time.
Right.
So soon after started talking about franchising.
It was a rock and roll marathon, or is it
PF
Chang?
Well, they're both actually,
okay.
But yeah, PF Chang's here in Arizona, which okay. I did their first one too. Yeah, so I decided to come on board full time.
Right.
Really found a perfect dovetailing of all of my experiences, which includes mm-hmm. marathon running, includes a background in fitness. I've been involved in the fitness industry my whole life, as profession as well as personal. And so yeah, moved over and started becoming Director of Operations and turning this thing into a bigger movement. So
yay.
I'm very excited about that.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, passionate.
And so how long have you been doing marathons for?
I was thinking about that a very long time. Yeah, I'm not old enough. Yeah, 20 years. I did my first marathon in 1997.
Okay.
And did several a year for a while. I did the very first San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon, which is the first rock and roll marathon. Now it's this huge industry. It's mm-hmm. international. They have 78 or so across the world.
Holy cow.
San Diego was the first one, and I did their first one, and I've done one ever since. So I have my streak is running.
Right.
So this last year was my 26th marathon, and it was the rock and roll.
So you do it every single year?
Every year. So I've
wow.
done 18. This was, last okay. year was the 18th.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting. I've done 26, like I said, all across from Boston, New York, and LA. Nothing international yet.
Mm-hmm.
But those experiences, everyone is different. But having the rock and roll marathon as a container of consistency, it's giving me an opportunity to really explore what the race does for me as a person and my journey. And then I'm a little passionate about that too. And then integrate, you know, in comes floating,
mm-hmm.
and now I have a really different perspective. This last year was the first year where I had been floating regularly. In fact, having relocated and so passionate about this work, I do a lot of work and not a lot of running.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very interesting experience. After doing so many, I've had a variety of trainings leading me up to none with so little as this particular race. But it had to keep my streak going, so of course I showed up.
How much training did you do before in this particular race?
Training is a funny word, so
right.
we'd have to find a mutually agreed upon working definition of what that is.
How about
I would say zero.
Practice running.
Zero.
Zero.
Yeah, so typically there's a training
wow.
schedule
sure.
where you're ramping up your mileage, And I was lucky to get one or two runs in a week for 3 to 4 or 5 miles.
Okay.
So it was intended to be a walk run, which I've been doing kind of a Galloway method for years. And I was just praying for the best.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really remarkable. So even with lots of training, like a legitimate training schedule, I've always experienced soreness afterwards, tightness afterwards, depending upon my effort and my investment of my energy. This time I showed up, I floated the day before I left, arrived in San Diego, and got up and did my marathon, and came home, flew home that night from San Diego back to Arizona, and floated for 2 hours. Got up the next morning, floated, and started my Monday work week. And this is the most bizarre thing that I think has ever happened to me, where I challenge in my mind and what I've witnessed other people, but then I actually experienced it. Now, I have insomnia as well, so I've had tremendous benefit with floating with regard to that, and I don't call it insomnia. I have different sleep patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But this was, I've seen people's lives transformed. I've seen that look when people come out and they are pain-free for the first time.
Right.
But to physically experience this, it was, I said to everybody, oh my goodness, oh my gosh. No, really, I have zero soreness. My hips were a little tight, and it felt like I worked out.
Mm-hmm.
My calves were a little tight. But typically, I would be holding on to things walking around for 3 or 4 days of the week.
And for those that don't know, how many miles is a marathon? It's over 20 miles. 26.2 miles. Okay.
Yeah, 26.2 miles. And I've been doing it long enough, and I'm old enough that there's a clock at the end, but then there's this internal clock that, the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was my longest. It took me the longest time to finish. I enjoyed it so thoroughly, and afterwards I had zero pain.
Right.
So the floating did two things for me. I was so happy with my ability to just be able to show up and do it, and I'm grateful for that. But in those 2 hours afterwards, I was so peaceful with the marathon. I wasn't judging myself, and I think that was part of floating as well.
Interesting. And so that was very much, okay, so that's the other thing I'm curious about. So obviously not having pain is a huge benefit, not feeling soreness, but then the psychological impact, that's a pretty deep thing. Not judging yourself and just being okay with it is huge. I mean, now how do you use floating in terms of like having a stressful week? How do you use it towards, a day-to-day, as a day-to-day routine?
Yeah, it's been tremendous. So I have practiced meditation for several decades, and probably longer than my running. And this floating is very different. It's such a soothing physical environment that it has allowed me to go even more deeply into a place where, without the distractions, I'm more aware of my inner thoughts, more aware of my monkey mind and my inability to be the perfect meditator.
Right.
So it's a deeper experience of practicing non-self-judgment.
Sure.
And the relaxation, the soothing side of it, it's been remarkable, a tremendous impact in my life. And particularly with the marathon. So I was getting my doctorate, and my dissertation topic was marathon running and using it as a transformative tool. And floating now, if I were to write my dissertation again, it would be about floating and running.
Interesting. Now, having that kind of experience and knowing, who floating is still not in the mainstream, I would say. I'd say less than 1% of the population has certainly tried it, and I would say less than 10% of the population knows about it. But we just recently saw Time Magazine had an article about floating in July. Time Magazine has now a dedicated page up, which is time.com/floating. So anybody that doesn't know about floating, go check it out. Time Magazine did an awesome piece about it.
Right.
It's something that came from very much kind of a psychedelically infused background, which is just the culture of the 70s. And now I feel like the reemergence is floating is becoming the next yoga. It's becoming the next massage. It's becoming the next acupuncture. And so I'd be curious, where do you see floating fitting in with health and wellness modalities, say, in the next 3 to 5 years? Where do you see this floating thing going?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What is, when I first floated in the 80s, mm-hmm. so mid-80s, very much sort of...
There couldn't have been more than 10, 20 centers back then, right?
It was in someone's living room.
Right.
So, okay. Yeah, the center was that.
The center was
the
a living
second
room.
Time I tried to do
it. It was the center of a living room.
It was the center of a living room. Mm-hmm. And it was very much, you know, and I was still very much part of that, you know, kind of more bohemian. I lived in Marin County in north of San Francisco, and so it was fine. At this stage where I feel it's so timely with what's happening with culture is that, and as our tagline, is the science of feeling great. We're focusing on being able to deliver data and deliver floating to the mass public,
sure,
in a way that can be easily received so that it can be approachable for everyone. So with fitness, my own personal experience and my knowledge about fitness and Epsom salts and softening of muscle tissue, increasing circulation, being able to reduce inflammation, in addition to the really that super learning stage, that theta, where you can sit and prior to your activity, mm-hmm. Plan. I always would do a mental rehearsal about a run and how I'm going to strategize my internal.
So having an intention before you go in and utilize.
Absolutely.
It.
And what we know about what floating does from brain waves,
sure.
This is an ideal situation prior to, helps to break up the lactic acid. So you're training, you're more at an optimal, you're mm-hmm. training at an optimal level. But then the post, the recovery is, even for day-to-day working out, would be tremendous for people, but particularly for elite athletes, I think, or endurance athletes.
Right.
It breaks down what would typically take weeks, a week or two,
sure.
to recover to get back into your routine and your training.
Now, how about for workaholics? Because, I mean, I've never seen, quite frankly, someone who's more of a workaholic than probably you, and I think our organization as a whole has that. But you certainly are someone that I've seen you drive yourself to a point of definitely mental exhaustion, and just because you're
that
passionate about
shows.
Something. Oh, it never shows, of course not. But, you know, as an entrepreneurial person, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people need this. And it's something that I think it's hard for people to grasp how important that relaxation is, just taking that even 1 hour a week. You know, I like
right.
to do little half an hour floats. And so, you know, I'll float 3-4 times a week. I'll jump in the middle of the day, but when I get out, I'm totally refreshed.
Yeah.
You know, now right. we're going to start partnering with specifically LA Fitness and start getting some stores open there. And I'd be curious to see, you know, as floating's growing, as it's changing, as it's going away from maybe only sensory deprivation and now people are calling it sensory acceleration,
yes.
you know, how do you see this starting to kind of integrate into the mainstream? Especially into people that have never heard about it before. They don't have any stigma, negative or positive. And then baby boomers. Baby boomers is a target we've never really reached. But
right.
I think that is a part of society that can get tremendous benefits, especially from just overall aging and pain and things like that. So, I mean, how do you see this starting to just kind of integrate into those facets?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think what you mentioned earlier, that I see it also as becoming more easily received, like a massage or yoga. It also has the spa quality, you know? So it's a different type of spa, but with the healing as really the center point.
Mm-hmm.
The baby boomers, absolutely. Well, everyone would benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone would benefit. So
you don't think there's a group that isn't for?
Oh my gosh, absolutely not. I mean, we've seen the largest population that we serve today
mm-hmm.
is a younger mindset. It's a younger age. So anywhere between 25 and 44 age, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has to do with receptivity and approachability.
Right.
More being open to it. In addition to maybe more open to the practice of meditation or to making time for yourself,
mm-hmm.
where, like you said, a workaholic is a little strong, I would say. I'm very passionate. I'm very passionate, and I have a lot of energy.
Right.
And speaking to the marathon, I like to do things intensely.
Yes,
so,
yes. Not a bad thing, but it can be exhausting.
It can be exhausting. It can. But I also honor the alternative modalities that we have available to us to be able to help us optimize our days, optimize our service, and our performance. And I think that so LA Fitness will be tremendous in that it will be available to people. I hope that will help bridge the idea that this is something, I don't really take time for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, meditation, I don't have time. Or a massage, oh my gosh, I'm not going to spend the money or, you know, to do that for myself. And yet I think our culture is now really ready to understand if we don't focus on prevention, if we don't focus on taking care of ourselves, that we will spend far more time treating symptoms rather than preventing them.
Yes.
And so I think for us to give a message that it's an hour out of your day a week or a month, and I know people can find that time. And once they try it and they really connect the dots between the benefits and their actions and their lives, that this is something that, especially the older people who are, muscles get sore, sleep is different, stress is at a high for people from my generation who are about working and producing. I'm very excited. I think our timing is just right for our culture.
Awesome. Well, what would your last piece of advice be for someone who hasn't tried floating yet? And this is something we get in the spa a lot. So a lot of people are nervous.
Right.
We hear a lot of people that are potentially claustrophobic. So maybe let's start there. Let's start with, people that are nervous about this, they think it's weird. What would you say to someone like that who's kind of on the fence about whether or not to try it?
Well, fortunately, there's such an intrigue about it. And now we're getting such great press from really mainstream voices like Time Magazine and Dr. Oz. So I think that people are very curious. I think, and from my psychology side, I would say there's something archetypal about being in water. There's something that draws people to it. So we've already got that. And then when people say, and you're right, the number one concern that people will ask me about is claustrophobia. And I think it's very important that people understand that the pod is much more like getting inside of a Volkswagen than it is an MRI machine.
It's a queen-size bed.
It's so spacious, and there's a dome feeling inside, and it's cozy, but spacious. So, but I understand the hesitation. It triggers inside people. I'm closed in. The most important thing I tell people is that you have complete control over your environment at all times. So you're in a private, secured room. You can float with the lid open. You can close it. You can prop it open a little bit. You can have the lights on. You are in complete control.
Right.
And I have never, hundreds of floaters I've facilitated, been blessed to see, and I have never had anyone come out and say, at mid-range, and just, oh, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. People, on the contrary, come out and say, oh my gosh, I actually was able to close the lid. I was relaxed. I was very comfortable.
And it was amazing.
And it was amazing. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's what I see with people that come in for one thing. They're getting so much more. And so you have people that are coming in for pain relief, people that are coming in just to relax. And it's literally kind of shifting their entire awareness of who they are as a human in terms of, oh, wait a minute, I'm going to act a little different. I'm going to become a different kind of person. I've had people shift, you know, their career paths. So many things can happen. It's that crystal clarity, and that's why I love the pod environment. Is it, for me, it brings crystal clarity to whatever it is I'm working on, you know, internally, or whatever that struggle is.
Whether
internally.
You were focusing on it or not, it comes up.
It comes up,
yeah,
and that's why
it does.
I love it. Is just you can go in for pain, and you can come out and be like, you know what, I need to write a novel, and I have the idea already.
Yes,
you know, that's why I love the pod. It's just that crystal clarity that you get.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So. You know, right now with franchising, just to kind of end on the franchising note, obviously we're growing franchising. We're doing very well. We have, I think, six stores open as of right now?
Yeah, tomorrow.
As of tomorrow. And so we're just ending out the year 2015. I know we have about another 10 or 12 that are on the way. So we're going to have spas opening in North Carolina, more in Sacramento, Ohio. I think we have some in Florida. Where are some other places we're opening?
We have 5 coming in Texas.
5 in Texas?
Yeah, Louisiana.
Louisiana?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we have 2 more. I'm going to Roseville, California on Tuesday to see their next 2 locations. And then a myriad of calls from all over the country, people who are excited and about getting involved in this.
So awesome.
Yeah,
so thank you so much. I love hearing about this, your story and how you're using floating. It's so awesome. And, you know, for anybody that's interested in just seeing what we're doing, check out truerestfranchising.com. And then if you just want to get a pod, check out floatpod.com. And then again, that link that I highly recommend that just came out with Time Magazine is just time.com/floating.
Yeah.
So thank you, Ms.
Thank you. Thank you for all you're doing.
Thank you
very
much.
Giving me the opportunity to be a part of it.
Absolutely.
Never been happier.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.